bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are sponsored this half hour by Sunbury Motor Company, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia on Hummel's Wharf for all your car needs. Well, we got a pretty packed show here today for you. We have our usual Tuesday suspects. Matt Cotrillo is going to call in about 1:15, and he has some thoughts about the 76ers, it sounds like, and wants to talk a little bit of NFL draft. Our second segment at 1:35, we'll have Dave Spadaro. He's going to be here to talk the Eagles draft. And at 2:05, Neil Coulong joins us to discuss the Steelers draft. And I think just from following Neil on social media this weekend, I think he might be even more excited than Steve is about picking Zach Frazier in the Steelers draft class. And, you know, getting a chance yesterday to listen to a lot of the follow-up from the ESPN people and stuff, that seems to be one of the big consensuses on the draft, is everybody seems to love that Steelers draft, from the tackle slash guard from Washington in the first round, Frazier in the second round. Hearing a lot of good things about the guard from South Dakota State, too. I think somebody said on the one podcast I was listening to yesterday that he was the 7th most athletic interior offensive lineman in combine history, I think it was, and measurements and stuff. It's just, you know, obviously coming from South Dakota State, the level of competition probably is not quite as high as it would be in a Power 5 school, of course, but it's... You know, honestly, the one, it should be interesting just to see how all these guys work in. Obviously, the Steelers had to remake the interior of their line, and I think Steve mentioned yesterday, I really like the addition of Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan, as a slot guy for them to complement George Pickens and the tight ends, and that should be, you know, that should be a good pickup for him as well. Eagles, on the other hand, we got into it a little bit yesterday. Obviously, they got the Toledo cornerback and traded up for Cooper DeJean, and were able to, you know, get some things done in their secondary. And Steve mentioned this yesterday as well, picking up Will Shipley in the 4th round. I think that's pretty big for, you know, I think if you remember, the Eagles have kind of remade or got a new offensive coordinator in the offseason, Kellen Moore, and if you got a chance to watch some of the Chargers stuff, you know, the Chargers like to use Austin Eckler, you know, that could be something, you know, as a breather, as a third down guy for Saquon Barkley, that's an interesting pickup for the Eagles. I guess we'll take our first break right now with Matt coming on at 1:15, and we'll be back here in the Sunbury Motors studio. This half hour sponsored by Sunbury Motors.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing and can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motor Company, Sunbury, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia on the highway in Hummel's Wharf. And on the phone right now is Mr. Matt Cotrillo. How are you today, sir?
Well, Speedy, let me just start you off with a stat of the day.
Oh.
My son, Mark Cotrillo, has scored more points the last few days than Buddy Hield has combined this entire series versus the Knicks.
Your kid was on the floor more than Buddy Hield was, wasn't he?
Yes, exactly. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, Buddy's not on that team.
What a disaster for our Sixers, Todd Hummel.
Yes, it was not a fun afternoon on Sunday, was it?
No, it wasn't, and that's where I'm going to start there. You know, when it comes to everything with this team right now, on the floor, what happened literally with the crowd, how bad the crowd was, Joel Embiid's comments, like him or not, it all comes back to the top. When stuff like this happens in sports and with organizations, it only starts one way. It starts at the top. When it comes to either failure or success. And I start at the top with the fraudulent owner that is in Josh Harris. Here's a guy that, you know the reason why he wasn't there for game three on Thursday night is, it's NFL draft weekend, because he's now the owner of the Washington Commanders, the division rival of the football team where you got your basketball team in. It starts with this, the top and all the way through. If you want fans to be fully invested in this team and believe in this team, especially with the failure that's happened the last couple of years with the talent that they've had, it's because you have an owner that is continually not fully invested. I don't care if he's got the money for it, to have four different franchises or whatnot. I want you to be invested in what you're actually investing in. And he's not doing that with the Sixers. And also, mind you, too, every time that he's on the court or at some sort of press conference or an appearance, he looks like something out of Hangover 2. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. He's an owner. You have that much money, you can pretty much dress how you want, Matt.
I mean, I guess that's true. All I'm asking is for you to be invested fully in the team. I mean, just look at the Eagles, for an example. You look at Jeffrey Lurie. He's had the team since 94. They've been to three Super Bowls, two in the last 5 years. They've won one. They've been in numerous conference championship games, won numerous division titles, playoff appearances, what have you. And he bought the team for, I think it was, $195 million, something like that. The Eagles are in the top 20 now in most valuable franchises. I mean, that's an owner. That's what an owner is in pro sports. And the Sixers have never gotten that with Josh Harris in this couple of years, really since day one. It's been three general managers now, as I said last week, and this team still doesn't know how to build around Joel Embiid. Now, Joel Embiid has his own issues. He shouldn't have said what he said yesterday, but it's understandable where he comes from. But there's only one guy to blame, and it's Josh Harris, and this team has failed him more than he's failed the team, when you look at it from the Brands being the things.
I believe that he's actually said today that you're the reason he has a migraine.
Well, if that's true, then I'm doing my job then.
Doing your job. Your job.
Yes, that's right.
Embiid misses shoot around with migraine. Right? They did spell your name right. Kelly Oubre also.
I did see that with him and Kelly Oubre. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you might. This team is cooked. This team is cooked. They are not going to win this game tonight. After seeing that, that was the last bit of straw for me. Like I said,
You're bragging
about it.
When you
look at it from the grand scheme of things from game one, this franchise has failed him when they failed the franchise because they don't know how to build around him. And it's really quite simple, as I talked about last week.
So you're bragging about an ownership that has a 33% win rate in the Super Bowl?
It's more than what Josh Harris has done with four teams he's got combined, and that includes somebody overseas. I'm just comparing numbers and numbers here. I'm not saying Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles are perfect either by any means, but at least he's invested and he's actually like grown the franchise and had success and most of all won a championship.
I'm just having fun with you. Look, here's a franchise that deliberately lost through management, not through the players or the coaches. Lost games so they got to have high draft picks. Okay. Called the process. The process has netted you one player.
Correct. Who hasn't been necessarily reliable in the most critical parts of the season when you'd like to have said player.
He speaks highly of you.
Exactly right. And I really do think it's the basketball gods, quote unquote, that have come back to bite this franchise in the rear end, too, which has also led to some of the misfortunes and the disappointments that this team has had. I'm sorry. When you try to lose on purpose, I don't care what it's for. I don't care what league you're in. It's going to come back to bite you in the rear end sometime. And it really has for this franchise ever since they've elevated to what they are right now, which is they've been a good team. They have their star, but they haven't been able to quite get over the hump like this process was really supposed to do from day one.
If I recall correctly, Todd, Josh Harris looked very involved in the Commanders draft.
That's where this all started.
Exactly. So you're an owner for an NBA team, and you're not there for a playoff game, a home playoff game. Because guess what? Well, I'm sorry. I have the NFL driving my other franchise, who just happens to be the division rival of the team that I have a basketball team in. That's not an ownership. I'm sorry. It's not. And the Devils can say the same thing. The Devils have done next to nothing there. His European soccer team, I forget who the heck they are, but they haven't done anything either. So, yeah, that's what you get. You have the money, fine. If you grow a little bit, fine. But guess what? The ultimate prize hasn't been done for either one of these teams that Josh Harris has. So, maybe we should think about that. Maybe we should see the pattern here. There's no investment in any of these teams, so they're never going to grow, including the Sixers.
I thought the Eagles drafted well.
They did. They did a fantastic draft.
Oh,
I was very happy with the Eagles draft. That's what kept me sane this weekend by seeing the same things and the same feelings with the Sixers over and over is because I at least have a team that, again, isn't perfect, but at least knows how to try to grow a team. And they had an A-plus draft this weekend. They really did.
They had a good draft. All right. We'll grade it A-plus in 3 years if these guys play. Right?
Yeah, no. That's right. But initially on paper, they had, to me, this is the best draft I've ever seen them have, honestly. You'll see how it plays out, but the way it looks right now, if all these guys come to fruition, or majority of these guys come to fruition, especially the two corners, yes, this will be one of the best drafts, if not the best draft, under Howie Roseman.
I could see DeGene eventually playing safety for them. We'll see how it goes. But I could see him eventually playing safety. obviously the edge rusher is a guy that they're counting on that can make this thing work.
That's the only pick that I was not in love with, because I'm sorry, I don't care what kind of upside you think this guy has. You don't draft a project player day two. Project picks are for day three, not for day two. That was my only real problem with this draft. Other than that, I like it.
Yeah, and then Will Shipley, I thought, was a steal as a running back.
I agree.
For this team.
Most underrated, but I think that could be really rewarding. More and more that I've seen about this guy. You're absolutely right.
I think he's got a chance to be really, really good for them. You know, in a spot role. This will be a spot role player.
Absolutely.
Because Barkley is the primetime player. This is Boston Scott, except he has skills.
Poor Boston.
Well, he's great against the Giants. I mean, he really is. Against the Giants, he is phenomenal.
As much as I'll miss Boston Scott for those games, yeah, I think that pick of Shipley, I think definitely spells the end here. And honestly, doesn't do a whole lot for Kenny Gainwell either. And this is a guy that apparently thought the Eagles just loved, and the guy could do no wrong. But this tells me something too about that, which is a good thing.
What did I say when they drafted Kenny Gainwell? What did I say? I said, it's a pick that doesn't light me up.
Oh, yeah. I remember, yeah. And I was intrigued by it, but I didn't think it was going to be a saving grace type of pick for the Eagles. So, yeah, you're definitely seeing it now, no question.
You don't want to listen to me.
No, I was mostly in agreement with you. I mean, I got maybe a little more confident in him after the playoff run he had when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, but I still didn't see this guy as the end-all, be-all like the rest of the coaching staff apparently had until this point.
Mm. No, he's played about the way I thought he would play. I mean, seriously, I mean, again, mine was based on just seeing all the various, like, four games worth of video getting ready for the Cotton Bowl. I'm like, okay.
Right.
Whatever. I thought the guy that Washington got was the better player. So, that's just me. So, I mean, Knicks fans...
Honestly, I thought the NFC East, despite what I have to say about Josh Harris, I thought all of the NFC East had good drafts this weekend. So it's a good thing the Eagles did have a good draft, because the rest of the division, I thought, had a good draft weekend, too.
Right. So, Knicks fans invade your building, essentially take it over. I mean, yeah, what does that say about the loyalty of the Philadelphia fans?
Once again, I point to one man only, Josh Harris. I point to one man only who is responsible for what happened there with the Knicks fans. It was annoying. It was nauseating. But fix it. Find a way to fix it. Make this fan base actually believe in this franchise that it's not going to be the same thing over and over again. And by the way, you may want to work on your agreement with StubHub to try to reach prices and make them absolutely crazy. That makes them better for New York fans to get than Philly fans too. That actually might help, but you know, that's just me.
They need to pay for Embiid.
If you win, you could pay for Embiid. If you could put players around Embiid, the guy you're trying to pay for, you can win. Also, getting rid of Tobias Harris this offseason will help, too.
Oh, he's already firing people. Why don't you fire Aaron Judge? He's not hitting.
He had a horrible start, but I think he may have turned the corner. I don't know. I'm watching him closely.
Yeah, he told me. I talked to him. He said he's watching you closely.
He should be.
It didn't sound promising.
Again, only one way to change that. Hit the ball.
I have to give you credit. You make sports seem so easy.
I just call it like I see it. I give you my honest opinion, as I do every week.
I call them as I see them. If I don't see them, I make them up. Matt, be good.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Half hour by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All right. Dave Spadaro is joining us, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Dave, how you
been,
first of all? How you been, man? You doing all right?
Been crazy. But doing really well. It's been, so this is my 28th year here. This offseason has been as slam, bang, whiz, gee, golly, boy, oh boy, crazy. Every time you turn around, there's a move that I've ever seen. And I'm talking coaching staff, roster, mentality. Really, really interesting approach the Eagles have taken after such a disappointing end to the 2023 season. I feel like everybody who's got a rational mind would say that the Eagles have really done a good job revamping this roster.
Yeah, no, I agree. So let's start with the draft pick part of it.
Sure.
They get out of the gate with Mitchell, and everything just falls perfectly. Howie doesn't have to make a move. And with all the offensive players selected, he's there. And then they move up and get Cooper DeJean, whom I'm very familiar with, at Iowa. Your thoughts on the two picks and the possibility down the road that about DeJean being either a corner or a safety?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I will say, in defense of what I'm going to say here, it's hard to speculate because we don't really know what Vic Fangio is thinking. But certainly the Eagles got great value. And that's what you look for at this point in the draft. I know that there are so many draft experts out there, and I tend to wait until I see them in a uniform, in the scheme, how are they being used, because I think that is such an important part of a player's development. That said, you know, you're right. The Eagles benefited probably more than any other team, kind of just being patient in round one and letting the defense come to them with all the run on quarterbacks. So it really worked in the favor of Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, and especially Vic Fangio. And then DeGene, does he fit as a quarterback? He can run certainly well enough. He's athletic enough. Can also play safety. Can also be a nickel hybrid. I mean, there's so much cross-position versatility anymore that it's really almost unfair to label someone as a cornerback or as a safety, because it's just there's a lot of hybrid activity. But certainly the Eagles got more athletic. It's something they needed. They didn't take the football away enough in the last couple seasons, even when they were really great in 2022. I mean, look, the pass rush is critical. But it became apparent last year that the Eagles are aging in the secondary very rapidly, and it is time for an infusion of youth, and that's exactly what the Eagles have done in this draft and really throughout the free agency period as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, DeGene is just a quality player. Breaks on the ball, sees everything.
Eagles fans are gonna love him. How are you so familiar with him? What is your ties to Cooper DeGene?
Because I've announced a lot of Penn State-Iowa games in my career.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And what kind of player? So when you watched him at Iowa, you know, a dominating player, teams went the other side. Like, what was it?
Yeah, you didn't want to.
So much?
If you went toward him, you were risking something because he sees it, believes it, breaks on it. He's also invaluable as a punt returner. He has, we could talk analytics all we want, but that's something where you have to have a feel for it. And he has a feel in traffic. Now, I know I thought the Eagles' punt return game was very good last year. It really was. I thought Covey was terrific. But this guy can do that. Now, kickoff returns, I've never seen him return a kickoff. And I know that's going to be an important part of the league coming up this year, the kickoff return part. So I've never seen him do that on any of the videos or in the games I've broadcast. But this guy is a major league player, and it tells me a lot about what the Eagles think of Mitchell, that they pick Mitchell first and then DeGene. Mitchell must be pretty special in their eyes.
Yeah, they really fell in love with him throughout their tape study and then meeting him at the Senior Bowl and watching him really step up in class. I mean, the big question with Mitchell, of course, is Toledo to the NFL. Can you make that jump? And I think they believe he's got a lot of football intelligence. Really athletic, gets to the football, and again, position versatility. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they considered, and I really think it's, I mean, a lot of teams say it, but I really do think the Eagles considered at 22 DeGene, and or moving back a couple of spots and going in that direction. But they ended up getting both of them, and it's just such a shot in the arm. I remember what it meant back in 2002 with Lito, Sheldon, and Michael Lewis transformed the defensive backfield. Took them a while to make an impact, and I think that's the benefit here. The Eagles do have some veterans and some young players who last year showed. Kaylee Ringo, for example, showed some promise. So, but look, I mean, they needed to get more athletic. They needed to get younger throughout the defense, and I really feel like they accomplished that.
I can squarely say that I know zero about Hunt from Houston Christian. So Dave, help me out.
Yeah, I mean, I know what the Eagles told me about him, and they loved him, and they loved his development. They love his burst. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, Hassan Reddick-ish, because at least Hassan was coming from Temple University, and they were playing, you know, high-level football. That is not the case with Hunt, but from a pure physical standpoint, athletic ability, the promise that he shows coming into a situation where he doesn't have to be the guy, I think they feel it's an ideal situation. And this is a premium. You got to find edge rushers. The Eagles want to, in hockey terms, have their edge rushers come over the boards and just wear you down. And they didn't have that last year. The production really, really dropped off after that big 2022 season. So I don't know how much Hunt gives you in year one. I don't really know. I remember back to the days of Trent Cole and thinking about him as an undersized, skinny kid out of Cincinnati. But boy, by year two and three, you saw what he was going to be. So I think they feel that same way about Hunt.
I never broadcast a game where this guy played, but I was down at Clemson to do basketball, and they were getting ready for the ACC championship. I saw a little bit of practice. Will Shipley, I'm looking at him going, you know, this is a big-time player on the collegiate level. I thought I thought, I know running backs aren't his value, but I thought he was a steal in round four. What were your thoughts on Shipley?
Yeah, my thoughts are that I'm going to come at it from a different angle here. Love the fact that they are looking for receivers, or rather running backs who can really help in the receiving game. I just feel like these last few years here, that has been such a glaring absence from the Eagles' offense. You know, it just if you can get Jalen Hurts to improve his completion percentage by 2 or 3 points, and that includes getting the ball to Saquon and getting the ball to Gainwell and potentially also, you know, Shipley, that really can make a difference. So, versatile kid, kickoff return guy, potential. Yeah. Like him a lot. Got to be stronger breaking tackles. And that's something to work on, but I think all rookies have something to work on. Mm-hmm. But, love the idea of going running back there.
And then round five, again, another guy I'd be more familiar with is Trevor Keegan from Michigan. Thought in the Penn State game here, he was actually a difference maker up front. And he can play multiple positions. How important was that to Howie and the Eagles that they could get a multiple position guy on the offensive line?
Yeah, always. And again, you're throwing resources at, listen to the positions that we've talked about, cornerback, defensive line, running back. I know you say it's undervalued, but they just spent a bunch of money on Saquon Barkley. And then offensive line. And the more weapons you give Jeff Stoutland and the, you know, more depth you can build and the more long-term quality that you can develop, I think that really serves the Eagles well. I don't like to speak of the players in terms of what they are now because it all changes. Everybody comes
right.
in. It
exactly.
is a different world here.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I do like the idea of what they addressed in the draft.
Bill O'Brien said to me the leap from high school to college is huge. The leap from college to the NFL is a chasm. And by the way, I personally don't undervalue running backs. I think they're extremely valuable. That's just me. The old-fashioned me may be coming out. But they signed Barkley. What kind of boost did that give just to the organization emotionally that they did something like that?
Look at what the Eagles have done. I mean, they've signed all these players to contract extensions. I don't even know what the number is now. 14, 15 veterans signed in free agency. The latest, Mekhi Becton. Go in and make, you know, tie a record for most trades in a draft weekend. Pick up 3 additional picks next year. And what I think the key phrase from the Eagles was what Howie Roseman said over the weekend, that it was a mentality kind of draft, and it's been a mentality kind of offseason. And you have to wash away that 6 losses in the last 7 weeks last season. You got to find a way to change your culture. And not change it like 180 degrees, but tweak it so that that kind of stuff doesn't happen again. And we talked so much about leadership, and I don't know if I said this to you last time we spoke, but leadership really manifests itself when you're doing poorly. And the Eagles were doing poorly last year, and leadership didn't do enough to turn it around. So what do? You're going to rip it apart? No, the Eagles' philosophy is let's add. And along with that, let's kind of tweak this culture a bit. And I think that's what they've done. And so I think the Barkley move was a seismic jolt to not only the Eagles and the fan base and in the building here at NovaCare where I am right now, but to everyone, the fan base, I mean, the rest of the league. Hey, the Eagles aren't stepping back here after last year's disappointing. And they are guns a-blazing. Go out and hire 2 experienced coordinators, bring in all this talent. Now they've got to corral it all and cultivate it and build it. And so I think it's really exciting.
The team that was closest to them in the division last year was Dallas. You know, between you, me, and the four walls and an audience, what was your thought on how Dallas drafted?
Yeah, see, I don't mind offensive linemen. I mean, it was a weird draft for the Cowboys, no question.
Yeah.
But it's been a weird offseason for them. But, you know, I've been on the other side of that where, you know, in the Andy Reid days, the Eagles were very reluctant, dipping their toe into the free agency pool.
Yeah.
And I would always say, well, hey, let's wait till we see what the roster looks like and before we judge. So I'm going to take that same approach with Dallas. I know their fans are upset, understandably so, but they have a quality roster. They've got a lot of talent. And I always like to kind of make my judgments when the regular season begins and you really see what a team has. But certainly it's been curious the way the Cowboys have talked about being all in, and they really haven't done a whole lot. So I think what the Eagles do is the right way to do it. They don't talk. They just go out and address the roster and get creative and really push the boundaries. And I think that's why this team has been in contention, really, six playoff appearances in the last seven seasons.
One more. That's the deal they made in round five to get Jeremiah Trotter from Clemson. We know linebacker's been an interesting area for the Eagles. What was your thoughts on the Trotter pick?
Went a little bit later than I guess I thought, but was really, really happy. What got on the phone with Dad Trotter shortly after the pick was made, and obviously known Jeremiah since 1998, and feeling his emotions as a father and all the things that they've gone through, losing his wife, having his son kind of sit through the agony of draft weekend. They were at their other son's spring game in West Virginia that weekend, and they were actually in the truck. And so, like, hearing Jeremiah talk about it was, like, so moving and wonderful. And, you know, the Eagles did not draft Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because it was a good story. They drafted him because they think he can help the football team.
That's right.
And so I look forward to seeing him come in and see how he plays in this environment. It is, I know staying home has a lot of benefits, but it also, if you allow it, can really create a lot of distractions. So there's a lot on the plate of Jeremiah Trotter Jr., a lot of expectations, a lot of his friends, people who didn't even know who were his friends, people who want to be his friends. Everybody wants a piece of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. now. He's got to block all that stuff out and do his work. Nothing is guaranteed. This roster is loaded. There's competition everywhere. And I don't think there are guarantees at all for players like Jeremiah Trotter. He's got to come in and earn it.
Well said. I always enjoy talking with you. Appreciate your time very much. Your analysis, terrific. Audience really appreciates it. Thanks so much.
Hey, you've given Cooper DeGene the stamp of approval. And I got to tell you, that means more to me than most of the people who've watched a few games here, watched his highlights, offer their opinion. I think that's very irresponsible of the media to do that. But what you say, I'm taking it to the bank. I can't wait to see the kid play as an Eagle.
Remember, the one thing he has to do is they had that injury at the end of last year. Right?
Yeah.
But once he gets fully healthy, he knows how to play. Right? That's a big part. He knows how to play.
Well, that's all that matters. That's what matters. He's a really highly intelligent kid, and we'll see where he fits in.
Hey, appreciate you so much. Thanks so much for being with us. It was great.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Really was. He does a great job of breaking everything down all the time. As it was great to have Dave Spadaro on the show today. We still have Neil Coulong on the show. We've already heard the wit and wisdom of Migraine Matt.
Oh, you know, like, he was pretty fired up.
Well, I that's his nickname because that's what I'm telling you. The reason why Joel Embiid had a migraine and missed shoot around today because of Matt. So we're going to nickname him Migraine Matt.
Oh, man. What? Joel Embiid, is there anything left to go wrong on that poor man?
I feel badly for him, to be frank with you. I mean, You know, he had to miss the first 2 years of his pro career because of his foot. Finally gets out there, builds himself up, works hard, comes to the league MVP, right? And then this last 3 months has been a nightmare for him. And I mean, I'm not going to talk about the Sixers. I mean, it's, you know, they've got to deal with it. But I'm talking about it from a personal point of view. He must wake up every day going, "Hey, you got to be kidding me."
It's just, he said some stuff before the playoffs about the knee injury, about he was kind of in a dark place for a while, and I just can't imagine. This obviously doesn't help matters either, and you have to wonder if you're. I would be, you know, if it were me, I'd be wondering if I was snake bit. I might walk around in the bubble for a while.
You know, I can understand why you'd be in a dark place when you have to miss 2 years of your career. And there have been other injuries as well, but 2 full years. You're sitting there going, "You got to be kidding me." Again? I know it's not 2 years, but he had to have that, like, again feeling. I don't care how much money you're making.
Well, I mean, at that point, they're the number two seed. He's probably having a better year at that point than he was having last year. It seemed like everything was going right, and all of a sudden, you know, for different reasons, it's kind of turned into the back end of the Eagles season is kind of equal to the back end of the Sixers season here.
Yeah, the Sixers, the Eagles season at the end you felt was more self-inflicted.
Yes.
The end of this season for the Sixers has been more trying to overcome injuries and not getting enough help from the other guys. But the problem is, and this is where they got hurt at home. I mean, that game on Sunday, your role players, home court or home ice, mean so much more to them. A star is a star. They play well everywhere. That's why they're stars. They may have an off game here or there. Everybody's entitled to that. But they're stars because they play really well everywhere. It's the role players that benefit the most from playing at home. They seem to play better, have better numbers, everything. And on Sunday, the Sixers role players were not very good.
That's how Matt started. It didn't start with Josh Harris. It started with Buddy Hield.
But again, when Buddy Hield was acquired, I sort of said on the show, "So what?"
Yeah.
I said, "That's not going to help them." Like I said to Matt, I said, "Do you listen to the show?"
I feel like when it happened, you remember all that shooting and you think that, you know, you think that's good for Embiid, but, you know, there is other parts of the game.
He's not at Oklahoma anymore.
No, this is true.
I mean, he's in the pros now. Like, he's just, I mean, no offense, he's slightly more than just another guy in the pros, which is what I said when they made the trade.